Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 29th, 2011, episode 107, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Jamie, good morning, everybody. How are you guys?
Oh, just peachy. How are you?
Good, good, good. It's Tuesday. They're kind of right. You know, I was thinking about that. I was listening to that. Tuesday kind of doesn't have a feel, does it? It's kind of just a day.
I totally feel Tuesdays. I mean, totally.
Oh, you do?
No. No. Well, Tuesday has its own feel because it has no feel. Like, it's not Monday. Wednesday's hump day. Tuesday's just kind of there. I think people are most productive on Tuesdays just because they have no other thing to go for.
Well, that could be true. And Thursday, you're just kind of looking forward to Friday. So Thursday's just sort of a get through it day. Whereas Tuesday, I think people on Tuesday just do Tuesday. They just, you know, they don't rush the day. It's a day.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's a good day. So, you know, first of all, Jennifer, how's everything going? I've noticed some pictures online of your husband with his cat. And the picture of Glenn with the cat, I literally think he could put the cat on his head and disappear. They are exactly the same color.
Well, you know, what's really funny is Glenn, as folks who have met him without a baseball cap on his head know, his beard is really, really gray, and the hair on the top of his head is pretty much completely black. There's very little gray in that. And the cat's the same way.
Really? You know how they say we match our pet? I didn't realize it until I looked at that picture yesterday and went, ooh, wow.
The top of the cat's back is almost completely black, and then everything underneath of it is kind of Glenn's gray beard color. Yeah.
Well, now, it begs the question, Glenn, will you be running out today to your local Walmart and purchasing Grecian formula to dye the beard?
You know, I've thought about that in the past, but I've never done it. And, you know, I actually shaved my beard off once in the 25 years Jennifer and I have been together, and she almost divorced me, so I had to grow it back. Apparently, she doesn't like me how I really look. So I guess not. You know, I grew the beard right after we met because we were doing the shows and I was playing a king and the king should have a beard. And we owned the acting company at that point, and I just kept it ever since. And then one day, about 5 years ago, I didn't tell her and I shaved it off. And she was working at PetSmart at that time. She was the manager of the equine department. And I walked into the equine department with our greyhound and walked around the corner. She looked at me, she dropped her papers, screamed, and ran the other direction.
Oh, my God.
And then she wouldn't talk to me for like 5 days. She just hated it. So I guess she really doesn't like how I really look. She, you know, I have to have the facial hair or I get divorced is the way it sounds.
Well,
yeah.
And I might add, how many other people, friends and family, voted that, I'm sorry, the beard's got to go, come back?
Well, you know, yeah. I hadn't seen myself in so long. I really wanted to see what I look like and without the beard. And I have these chubby cheeks And I even laughed at myself. It was that bad.
Wow.
Pretty bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
A story kind of in the same vein of that is my father has had a mustache for my entire life. I mean, 33 years I've known the man. The man has had a mustache. I mean, he's like, you know, straight out of the 70s and never let it go. You know, it's the mustache for life. I've seen photos of him in his younger days without one, and he looks like Elvis Presley. So, you know, I've always said to him, I'm like, dude, you know, shave the mustache because I want to see what you look like. I want to see. Well, so it's Christmas time. He's here in Arizona, and he comes out of the bathroom shaved.
Completely shaved.
I have never seen my father without a mustache. The man's upper lip could have sent satellite signals, okay? It was so white and bright that he could have. The thing hadn't seen sun in like 40 years, okay? But it was definitely scary. It was like, oh my God. I was like, what did you do? Your brain doesn't process it at first, you know? So anyway, I kind of understand how you feel, Jennifer. It was my own father, and I about ran the other way, too. So I'm sure if you're listening, Dad, I'm sure it looks great now. You've tanned up a little bit. It was just, the initial shock that freaked me out. Sorry, Dad. Oh, I know he's
listening. You know
listening.
He listens to the show, right? I mean, geez.
Every day. Yeah,
I did want to say that on Facebook you'll find the pictures that we're talking about on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. There was the reason those pictures were put up there is we posted pictures of all the goodies that the city or town of Norco, California, our adopted hometown, sent to us. Boy, they sent us a whole pile of stuff. It was nice.
That's awesome. You got to love free stuff. You know how crazy people go for free T-shirts and stuff. So, yeah. You went crazy for free stuff. I'm so proud of you. Hey, do you have a daily Winnie? Because I'm excited about mine.
I think we can go to Jennifer first. She's ready to tell us what's on the show today.
On today's show, we are starting out with Canadian eventer Stephanie Rhodes Bosch and her first foray into eventing in England, which ought to be a great story, a very dedicated young rider. And next up is Sylvia Harris, professional jockey, and so much more. Stay tuned for a look into her inspiring story. She's an amazing woman with biceps that Arnold Schwarzenegger would kill for. And as is our usual habit, we have plenty of off-the-wall news headlines and crackerjack comments from you, the listeners.
And remember, you can give us a call any day. We'd love to chat with you at 347-637-3238. And it's time for... The first Daily Winnie is from Sarah Nader Minnick, who is our Daily Winnie recipient, for being our top poster on Facebook yesterday. I don't remember seeing her name there before, Jamie. And she
Sarah
must have
posted
12 times yesterday.
She's a new fan of the show, and we welcome her wholeheartedly to Horses in the Morning. And my Daily Winnie goes out to none other than our very own Glenn the Geek. Round of applause, Glenn the Geek! Yay! In your
what
Daily
did I do?
Winnie. Okay, so here I am surfing along in Facebook land. And, you know, I like to do a little show research, see what's going on. I check Zenyatta's page, I go to Uncle Mo's page, and what do? I go to Mucho Macho Man's page. And Glenn has posted a post to Mucho Macho Man, and guess what? Mucho Macho Man wrote back. He wrote you back. That's awesome. So you get a Daily Winnie. You wrote to him. We are still rooting for you, MMM, at Horses in the Morning. Hope that foot heals. And Mucho Macho Man writes back. Thank you, Glenn. So you have talked to a major celebrity. You have talked to a Derby hopeful. You talked to Mucho Macho Man.
Well, and I want to say that yesterday he posted, "Hey, y'all from the barn, I'm feeling much better. My peeps are taking good care of me. My foot is feeling better, and I'm getting a pedicure every day, no polish. I look forward to flying home to the Sunshine State tomorrow and getting back to my home barn to see Roxy, his little buddy there. Please feel free to post your photos, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that was good. And she, actually, Patty, Mucho Macho Man's owner, posted on our Facebook page yesterday, and that was very nice. And she said yesterday when she posted on there, I'm looking for it here, scrolling down, down, down. She said, to the folks at Horses in the Morning, thanks so much for having me on your show. It was really a pleasure, and I just now listened to the recording. Ironic that we were talking about shoes so much of the interview, and then Macho goes and throws a shoe during the Louisiana Derby. And then she says maybe he needs Ferragamose.
Oh, my gosh, Glenn.
What's that say?
Those are Ferragamos. They're a very expensive, fun brand of shoe. And so
oh, that's why I didn't know that.
I'm shocked you didn't know that. I'm shocked.
It's a good horse name, Ferragamo.
Yeah, would be a good horse. Obviously, it's a good shoe name that I have no idea what it is. Obviously, you know, I don't buy very expensive shoes. Let's start there.
You're not kidding.
No, I haven't bought very expensive shoes in my lifetime.
Yeah,
not really a clothes guy. Really hate to go shopping. Jennifer and I both, actually. We don't like shopping a whole lot. Although I got so much crap about wearing sneakers with my cowboy hat over the weekend that we really need to find a boot sponsor. We really need a boot sponsor, Jamie.
How so? I think it's I think our boot sponsor, if I had a preference, could be Ariat because I wear them all the time. I think it'd be very helpful.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. I'll let them know that we really wanted to be a boot sponsor.
Hey, there was
an interesting story yesterday that I heard. I'm sure some of you have heard it already. And it's about a guy by the name of Irving Rzborski. And he's from Chicago. He decided that it was time to do his taxes. And he got out all his paperwork. He got out his folder that he kept his tax documents in, like we all do. And he, you know, it was March, and he thought, well, it's about time. So he gets his documents out. Well, he finds a lottery ticket stuffed in all these tax documents. Apparently, he, like me, keeps his lottery tickets in his wallet, and then he would empty his wallet. Well, and he would have it keep his receipts in there, too, and he'd put them in the tax folder. Well, he normally checks his lottery tickets. Well, that day, he missed that one. So he apparently inadvertently stuck it into the tax file. Well, he decided to check his tickets and finds out that he wins $9 million. Now, this is the key story. 9 days before the ticket was due to expire. They expire in a year. They're only valid for a year from the drawing date. Can you imagine if you found a lottery ticket 2 days after? Would you just want to kill yourself? I mean, you're out $9 million because you lost it and didn't check it.
I can't even begin to imagine how devastating that whole thing would be. The fact that, first of all, you had a lottery ticket for the past year, you've probably been struggling making your mortgage payment. There's a lot of, you know, maybe you wanted to take a vacation that you put off. That entire thing, all because you didn't cash a stinking lottery ticket because you didn't know you won. And then to have it expire, I would petition the government. I'd be like, I'm sorry, expiration dates are invalid.
Well,
I fight about coupons.
Apparently what happens in the and with the unclaimed sums in Illinois lottery, as they get donated to the state's educational fund. And this would have been the largest unclaimed sum in Illinois history had he not. Can you imagine how fast he ran to the lottery office?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, exactly. Don't stop. Go. Don't collect $200. Go straight to get your $9 million. But he should at least make a small donation to the children, to the educational fund, because he stole that money from them. But you know they were sitting there like, any day. Okay, we've got 47 hours left until that money's ours. What are we going to do, people? Let's take a vacation. Let's get some new computers. Let's go to, you know, whatever. new buses, seatbelts in buses. Who'd have thunk it? And then they're like, darn it, the cash is gone.
Hey, I just wanted to say, too, that we, speaking of children, there's a story I came across this morning, and it's this neat guy. We're going to try and get him on the show with us and follow his progress. His name is Cowboy Chris, and he started out on March the 8th from Dallas, and he's riding from Dallas, riding his horses. He's bringing four of them along. He's ponying three to New York City, and he's raising money for charity for Heroes for Children, which is a childhood cancer organization, and he's raising money from them, and he's a cancer survivor himself. So he's making his way. He's in Little Rock right now. He has a Facebook page, and we're going to try and get a hold of him to see if we can maybe check in with him once a week and to see how his travels are going. I think it's a great cause, and he is doing something for children, and he's already raised, from the way it looks on Facebook, he's raised a couple thousand dollars already, and you know, we wish him the best of luck, and we're going to try and get him on the show with us. We'll keep you informed of that. And also, one other thing here, quick, Janie, I wanted to – we had a caller earlier that hung up on us, couldn't wait, apparently, and we wanted to give him a shout-out, and sorry we missed him. And if you do want to call, when you call into that number, 347-637-3238, if you want to talk to us, you have to hit the 1. It says there, if you want to be in the host queue, hit the number 1. And that puts you in the host queue and lets Jennifer know that you actually want to talk to us, because you can call the show at 347-637-3238 and actually listen to the show through your phone by not hitting the 1 when you call in. You can just listen to the phone. We have a couple callers on right now that are just listening in. So I just wanted to remind everybody of that, too. Sorry about the housekeeping there, Janie.
That's okay. It's good to know. Obviously, you can still listen at horsesinthemorning.mobi if you have an iPhone or a smartphone. So this is actually, I'm really excited about the interviews today. Obviously, talking to an inventor there, Stephanie Rose Bosch is actually awesome. But I'm pretty excited about talking to Sylvia Harris, who is a jockey and author of Longshot. Now, Longshot is a new book, and this woman, you guys are going to want to tune into this interview simply because she's absolutely a phenomenal woman who has overcome a serious debilitating disease, and how she did that was with horses, to be, manic, depressive, bipolar, self-destructive, and to then work her butt off to become a jockey. It's just such a cool story, and I can't wait to talk to her about that. Now, on a completely opposite note, Glenn, of racehorses, there's actually an incredibly cool contest going on for the fans of racing. The New York Racing Association has announced that beginning today, it's going to be conducting an online contest called Getting to Know Mo. And basically, the contest winner is going to get to spend time with Uncle Mo, the five-time Eclipse Award-winning trainer Todd Pletcher, and his jockey John Velasquez on Thursday, April 7th at Belmont Park. Of course, that is the month before the Derby. So you'd be hanging out and rubbing elbows with Todd Pletcher, John Velasquez, and Uncle Mo, the horse. So if you want to be a part of this contest, the website is like a bunch of stupid numbers. So go to thebloodhorse.com. Just bloodhorse.com, and it's on the front page, and you can follow the links there. The winner is going to get to hang out with those guys. 9:30 a.m., they will have a special breakfast in the barn and hang out with Uncle Mo. That's a pretty cool story. So I've already entered 7 times.
I was going to say you've entered 5 times.
We'll keep doing that throughout the morning. So very cool contest going on there. Check it out. TheBloodHorse.com is the easiest way to get to it.
All right, we have a caller on the line. I think I know who this is. And there we go. Hi, Mike Arnold. How are you this morning?
Doing fine. How are you?
Okay. Mike is our correspondent on the driving front, and I assume that you are calling in to give us an update on the beautiful competition. Speak about beautiful weather. The competition down there in Florida, in Ocala, at Chester Weber's farm over the weekend.
Yep, it was a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Could have gone a little bit better for us, but other than that, I think it was a great competition.
Well, I heard, let me tell you a story, Mike. So my brother, who is from Ocala, about 2 miles from Chester's place, decides to go over and watch on Saturday. And he's at this certain obstacle, and he said, "You're not going to believe what happened at this obstacle. A carriage turned over, and the horse flipped over, and then the horse got back up, and it seemed like everybody was okay. And then I heard somebody in the crowd talking about how it was, there was a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old on the carriage, and I'm going, wait a minute. There's only one person. Was that your kids?
It sure was.
What happened?
They were going great, going so very fast. And then they come up to one tricky turn. They had slowed down. And from looking at the video, it looks like they just the carriage started to slide, and then it hit a rut or a little piece of hard ground and flipped over. And
was
so,
everybody okay?
Well, okay, that's a good question. After... a CT scan of Jacob, his head really did kind of hit the tree. We didn't realize that at the time. And Samuel was okay. The horse did flip over and got back up. And yesterday she was a little sore. Today she looks just fine. So what Jacob decided to do was go and trot the next hazard and kind of check the horse out. And she was didn't seem quite right. So he decided to retire.
Now, did I see scores for – did he go back then on Sunday and do the cones? Did I see scores for Sunday?
Well, he did. We thought – you know, we checked her out. We had the vets check the horse out, and she seemed to be okay. The answer to any – the slight being off was to trot her out, and so he decided to just go ahead and trot because that's all you do really, or she really in this in the cones, especially if you're not going to push it really hard. And so that's what he did, but she still was a little sore, it seems. So that wasn't a bad thing to do for her. I mean, it's not a very strenuous thing. Anyway, so.
Well, I'm glad everybody's all right. I was a little concerned after my brother told me. He was like, that has to be Mike's kids.
It was, in fact. And then later after, you know, the EMTs checked him out after all that. And then we decided to take him to the hospital, and they did a CT scan, and... the next round, his ankle. His ankle kind of got caught, too. So, but it looks like everybody's fine.
A little scary for Dad, though, huh, watching that?
I was halfway there by the time they got it set back up. You know, you can help set the carriage back up and not eliminate the team. But I was halfway through the hazard to get to him. So by the time they got up. But they got up so quickly. They were not the slowest in that hazard.
Including
the turnover.
You're kidding. Wait, let me. Your kids went into the hazard, flipped over, got re-righted and gone, and it took other people longer time just to get through it.
Absolutely.
That's great. I mean, that must make you feel good as a dad. You like see them get up so quick. I mean, just watching students fall off, or I'm sure anybody watching me fall off a horse, you know, there's that momentary sense of utter panic, like, oh, my gosh, you're watching it happen. For the people that's happening to, it's like slow motion, the whole thing, the whole kind of crash occurring, and then to see them immediately, we're okay, and then want to get back up and keep going. Your kids are tough.
It was great. It was great to see them do that. Samuel on the back, he picked up the entire carriage, had it back up in just an instant, and the horse got right back up, and then he went to her head, and Jacob got back on. She was ready to go, though. I mean, she knows the job and the sport, and so she knows that she's supposed to be going, and she was ready to go after that. But then she just wasn't quite right. So
now you said, and my brother pointed this out too. Samuel's your 16-year-old, right? That was riding in the back.
He's 15, but yes.
Yeah, 15. Okay. That makes the story even better. You said he picked up the carriage. These cross-country carriages are pretty heavy, but apparently he's a big boy.
He's about 6'4", yep. And
oh, my God.
That's what my brother said. Wayne was like, he picked up he's like 8 foot tall. He picked up the carriage. And he put, and I'm sure adrenaline had a lot to do with that, but, you know, he righted the carriage, and Wayne just could not believe how big this kid was.
Yeah, he's grown a lot lately. You know, size 14 shoes, may have some more to go.
Your grocery bill must be amazing.
No, he's good. He's good. He's not really that built that, you know, muscularly, but he's a strong just by virtue of living here on the farm and doing the things that we do. Right.
Well, it sounded like the rest of the weekend was a terrific weekend. It was beautiful weather. The competition was apparently great. What was your impression of the weekend, besides your kid's little mishap there?
Exactly. Well, it was great. They had the pony and pair championships at this show. And so Shelley Temple once again won single pony with her pony, pair pony Jennifer Matheson, and then Lisa Stroud with Pony Team. And then Joe Yoder, the first pair driver, he had been driving last year for the WEG, on the way to the WEG, a four in hand. And though he didn't actually go to the WEG with that, he is now competing Jack Wetzel's pair, or a pair out of that same, out of a team that did go to the WEG, actually. And he won a very decisive win. It was great. His horses look great. He's doing a great job with them.
And Chester, of course, won his class, although I don't think there were very many in it. There were just a couple, the way it looked.
Right, there were three.
The four in hand.
There were three. Josh Rector did great on the marathon, but just couldn't overcome the dressage score that Chester gets.
And
then, and,
you know, I got to say that the pictures I saw from the weekend that my brother took, this place is just unbelievable. To give people an idea, Chester Weber's farm is 4,500 acres. To give you an idea, that's in Ocala, Florida. That's 7 square miles of property.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
And really, like I said, it seemed like every inch of it was mowed. It was just phenomenal. It was beautiful. Just so beautiful. And I think most
mother,
of that is in one block.
What a lot of people don't know is his mother is a direct descendant of the Campbell soup fortune. She herself is worth about $1.2 billion, and she's into racehorses. She breeds and races horses herself. So they're probably one of the top 10 landholders in all of the state of Florida next to Disney. I mean, they would have to be.
Good Lord.
Very good. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you calling in and filling us in. Get everybody your website address where they can go learn more about driving.
Drivingnews.us. We have complete results from that event, from Live Oak, as well as most others in the United States.
All right. Will you keep in touch as the event season continues here?
Yes, sir.
And good luck to your kids. We hope and the horse. We hope everybody's feeling better and recovers here.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, that was nice of him to call in and give us an update of what happened. It was kind of scary when I actually heard that over the weekend from my brother and sort of figured out that it was his kids, you know?
And he's just like, yeah, they're kind of, he's a big kid. He's 6'4", 15 years old, 6'4". Good God, size 13 shoes. My Lord, that is a big kid. And he's just like, yeah, you know, they eat a lot. Sure, whatever.
Like,
I'm like...
You would look like an Oompa Loompa beside him, like one of the Oompa Loompas. That would
Are you
be...
saying I'm fat, Glenn?
No,
Are you
no, no,
I'm
short.
Fat?
I was going with the short, not really the fat, to be honest with you.
Never, short ever, there. Ever in your entire life call a woman an Oompa Loompa. That is
okay,
the worst
how about
thing
a,
I've ever heard. There's no
all right,
there's
bad
no
reference.
Don't.
Apologize
Go
for that.
Go to our guest. This is ridiculous. I cannot believe
this
you just called me an Oompa Loompa.
This is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Daily deworming makes a difference you can see. Feed a Pfizer Animal Health Strongen C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strongen C2X designed for daily administration to horses and foals, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. Learn more at PfizerAH.com. That's PfizerAH.com.
Okay.
See, what I'm really doing is educating the horse husbands out there through this show of the things. Eventually, we're going to cover everything a horse husband's allowed to say and not allowed to say.
We had Stephanie on the phone. She hung up when you called me an Oompa Loompa. She's gone.
Did she really?
We don't have our guest. She's gone. Yeah, she's gone. She doesn't want to be on the show anymore. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Unbelievable. I'm done.
All
I'm
right.
not talking for 5 minutes.
Okay. All right, good. Our next guest is Stephanie Rhodes Bosch. I think Jennifer's trying to get her back on the line here. I think we did lose her, actually. She hung up. And it's all because of the Oompa Loompa thing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But while Jennifer's trying to get her back, there's something I promised we'd do yesterday, and we never got back to it. And let's see, she might be on the line here shortly. And I'll play this after the interview with Stephanie. Remember the horse rescue? I have audio from one of the most amazing horse rescues that that we've ever had. And that was I have audio from it, and it's something, you know, we've covered lots of different horse rescues here, but it's something that we haven't seen before. So we're going to hear about that in just a minute, and Jennifer is trying to get Stephanie back on the line here. Stephanie is an eventer out of Canada. I asked her to come on the show today because she's going to be making a trip here soon, and she's a young eventer. She got to participate in the World Equestrian Games last year. She has an amazing horse by the name of Port Authority. They call him Ollie, and Stephanie is very active with new media, and she is – you know, she's a terrific young girl, and I wanted to have her on the show just to talk about her horse and her travels coming up. She competed at the Rolex last year, and, you know, she does a lot of blogging, and she just, you know, she keeps everybody informed about what's going on in her life. And, you know, it just seems that the Canadians have made a huge headway into eventing. And we follow, you know, we followed a number of them, and they become friends here on the Horse Radio Network. And I know, and everybody knows that Jamie's an eventer, so we have a soft spot for the eventers. So let's get Stephanie on the line here. This is Stephanie Rhodes Bosch, and we are thrilled to have you on the show with us, Stephanie.
Thanks, Glenn. Thrilled to be here.
Well, you were away over the weekend at a show. Tell us where you were.
I was away. I was in Hamilton, Georgia, at the Poplar Place Farm event, and it was my first run on Ollie since the WEG back in October, and I also had a novice level horse there with me. So it
I read your blog post about the weekend, and it sounds like you weren't thrilled with how things went.
Yeah, there were definitely moments that I thought were back to our regular selves, but in general, pretty frustrated with the whole thing. But
why? What's going on?
I had a stop coming out of the Sunken Road, which is very unlike my horse. But after looking back at the photos and all of that stuff, the very next fence from the Sunken Road, he definitely doesn't have his right front shoe. You can see his bare foot. And my only thought is that he either pulled it before the Sunken Road, and when he landed, the bottom of the Sunken Road was like hard packed gravel. So he either got stung there or he pulled it jumping out, and that's what made him lose his forward momentum. So either way, if I'd have been more aggressive, he would have gotten out just fine. But as it was, my quiet ride in there was definitely made even less ideal by one shoe.
Yeah, that never helped.
No, it never helps. And I mostly just feel really bad about that. Obviously, if I had checked if he didn't have a shoe on, I would have had to make a decision about carrying on. I am, in hindsight, glad that I carried on because he wasn't sore or bothered at all by carrying on. And the rest of the course was brilliant. So I think I would have been even more frustrated had I decided to pull up. But it was just one of those things where I was looking forward to a great run, and it just was a bit of a shock. So
you talk about riding quietly to that fence, but I'm watching your video online, and it's Stephanie-Rhodes-Bosch.com, and you are a quiet rider. I mean, how would you change all of a sudden, how would you have known to change all of a sudden? Because watching you come up to these fences, you have the horses so collected and so together, and there's no, you see a lot of cross-country riders that are chasing their horse to the fence, and you don't ride like that. So that's probably why you had that stop, because you can't just change yourself all of a sudden.
Yeah, and he doesn't normally need to be ridden with any aggression at all. So for me to have thought that that was the place for that would have been a huge change. Like, he's normally the kind of horse that drags you to the fences because he just, like, he loves his job. So it was just one of those things. But now at least at the fork, there's a great sunken road at the back of the property on the fork course. So I'll have a little bit of extra leg waiting just in case.
Stephanie, you have a trip coming up, don't you?
Sure do. I think, what's today? Today is Tuesday. We leave a week Thursday for badminton.
Now, let's tell everybody.
For 2 weeks.
By the
Thursday,
way, when you said you leave a week for badminton, I got goosebumps, because for the non-eventers in our audience, this is like the Holy Grail. You are making the trip that you've probably dreamed about since you were a kid.
Yeah, you know what? I never once in my life assumed or even put it on the realm of possibility that I would go to badminton. But certainly when I was a teenager, I was given for my birthday this beautiful, like, hardcover bound kind of photo journal of the 50 years that badminton had been going on. It was, I don't know, this was like 10 years ago, so it was a few years after the 50th anniversary. And it went right back to the old school eventing where everything was just like logs at the top of hills and, you know, like old school eventing, and all the way up to pictures of Karen and David riding it. And this was, you know, obviously like 8 or 9 years before I even had the opportunity to meet them. So I've always felt like it was a huge deal, but to actually be getting ready to go there and compete is still incredibly surreal.
I bet.
Yeah.
It is one of the premier events in the world. Let alone England. You know, this is one of the premier events in the world, and to get to go there at your age and play on that course and ride that course is just, as I said, I have goosebumps just sitting here thinking about you doing it. I can't imagine how you feel about it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm trying really hard to keep the same mental aspect of it as I had at Rolex and at the WEG, for reasons, like, because I didn't want to be really nervous or anything going into Rolex. I tried really hard to convince myself that it was all kind of normal, which I know sounds crazy, but I did actually manage to convince myself that it really wasn't anything out of the ordinary. So I'm working on that now that everything, all of my travel arrangements and all the logistics are pretty much in place. I think now I can just focus on moving forward and every day doing what needs to be done and just kind of try and keep my head screwed on straight about it, because as soon as I get overly, you know, excited or too much anticipation, that kind of opens the door for nerves, and that's when I don't necessarily trust myself to make all the right decisions. So,
and now she's
going to try and make mom about it.
Glenn, this woman is practicing the most amazing mental toughness possible, and you're just egging her on to get nervous about it.
She's not the only one.
I'm here to help, Stephanie. I'm here to help.
She's like,
well,
I am maintaining.
Because you want to be excited about it. It's the kind of thing that you want to feel super excited about. But for me, I got so excited about my first 3-star, but by the time I actually got there, I'm pretty sure I was brewing some gastric ulcers or something. And I had a pretty bad weekend. My dressage test was very tense and stiff. And Shannon Brinkman, who's a wonderful event photographer out here, took about 60 photos during my dressage test. And I'm not kidding. In every single one of them, I look like I've just seen a ghost. it's horrible. Like, I look incredibly awful in all these photos because I'm pale and my, like, mouth is like a tight line, and I'm just like nervous and holding myself. And I know that that was a direct result of getting too excited about it. And I never want to screw something up because I'm nervous again. It's just, I want to do well, so I know that I let myself be like that.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to take that and use that when I compete as well, because you're exactly right. I got to do the AECs, and Shannon Brinkman is like the goddess of photographers. I mean, she's amazing. And I so wanted to purchase a Shannon Brinkman photograph of myself because she signs them all and everything. I couldn't find a dang one that I could buy because, like you, I was like, oh my God, I'm at the AECs. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I same as you, I looked like I was pooping in every photograph. I mean, it's like terrible.
Oh, I think we may have lost her. I think she dropped off on us, Jamie. She must have a tentative cell connection. Jennifer will try and get her back here.
The mental toughness that I was just learning about, though, is so helpful. And that's interesting that you're like, aren't you excited? Aren't you excited?
I think that's Stephanie. She's calling back. We'll get her back here in just one second. I know, and I wasn't helping much by, but it is exciting, you know. we can talk to her, you know. Jennifer's getting her back on the line here. We can talk about it now. Badminton is a huge thing. It's one of those events in the world that you really want to attend and you really want to do. So it is one of those huge things. Stephanie, do we have you back?
Yeah, you do. Sorry.
No problem. I just said you're probably in a bad cell spot there. Tell us about Ollie a little bit for those that don't know about Port Authority. Tell us a little bit about him.
Oh, sure. Well, for those that don't know, I have had him for a little bit over 7 years now. We bought him as a 5-year-old at home in BC with the intention of putting a few years into him and getting to go to the Young Rider Championships. When I was a young teenager, like 13, 14, I really, really wanted to go to the North American Young Riders Championships. I grew up with Rebecca Howard, and she was a few years older than me, and she went to the Young Rider Championships a few times. And for me, that was like the coolest thing in the world, and that was all I wanted to do. And we weren't, you know, in a position to go and buy a horse that was ready to go so that I could go. But we found Ollie at a event barn in Maple Ridge. And my trainer at the time put a lot of time and energy into putting a really solid base on him for me. And then a year and a half after we got him, I started eventing him. And he was the first horse I ever went preliminary level on. And so it's been really, you know, special for me to obviously have that kind of relationship with a horse, and also to from a technical aspect as well, for the two of us to just be so familiar with, you know, he knows exactly what I mean when I do something a lot of the time, especially cross country. You know, obviously the dressage is an evolution, but you know, it's just really special to be, you know, have that kind of relationship with my horse. I think I really enjoy him, and, you know, we've been all over the continent together, about to go all over the world. So he's really cool. He's a thoroughbred Cell Français, and he'll be 13 this year.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that is a long relationship that you've had, and I think it's a testament to, you know, I mean, eventers have a team around them, obviously, between, you know, your family and your friends, and if you have a significant other, and your vet and your farrier, and that's just a testament to how well you've done and how well your team has done keeping him sound. I mean, to start him at 5 years old and to be going to badminton when he's 13, that's amazing.
It's been really cool. And, you know, my vets and farrier, I've been working with Dr. Oba for 3 years and with Randy Pollock for 3 years, our farrier. And I've been, 4 years ago, I started being a working student for Rebecca Howard and then got into the program with David shortly after. So, you know, it's been a good long time that everybody's been working together towards the same goals. And it's nice to have that consistency for us to really be comfortable with the situation, even though you're always trying to get better and everything, but to not have had to switch horses a lot of times in those last few years have been great. And obviously, yeah. I have no complaints about the horse that I do have. He's super.
Oh, absolutely. Do you have some youngsters up and coming?
I have a 3-year-old off the track that I recently acquired. Last winter in Ocala, I exercised horses at a training center for racing, and he was 2 last year, obviously. And I rode him at work, and I just, from the very first day I rode him in the round pen, he was like barely broke, and then we got to, you know, move on gradually towards the track. But from the very first time I got on him, I thought he was super cute and great mover and all that. So he failed miserably as a racehorse. And now I have him, and, you know, you can tell from his canter, his natural canter is just not low enough to be a good racehorse. You can tell that he kind of got passed while he was in the air, which is fine with me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so he's just 3, and he's going to be a long time before he does anything, but he's super cute, and we'll see what happens. And then I spend my summers in Virginia, and I have a great, are you there?
Yeah.
Yep, we're
okay,
here.
Okay, super.
Yep.
Sorry, my phone went silent, and I was like, not again. no, I have a great group of friends and clients who have a collection of young horses that I get to ride when I'm in Virginia. So this summer I should have little Kojo, who was with me in Florida, going novice. He should be going training, and then I've got a handful of others that will be eventing. Not like every other weekend going hardcore for it, but just like little baby horses that are really fun to ride. So.
Well, you're going to be, I know one of the things that eventers encounter along the way is the high cost of doing what you do. How much does it cost to ship a horse to England to go ride a badminton? That cannot be cheap.
It's certainly not cheap. We are fortunate enough that Equine Canada has provided us with a grant. The grant does not cover the entire amount of the trip, but, you know, you can't always rely on your national federation to be able to front the money for all this kind of stuff. So Equine Canada has granted us, Selena, Holly, and I, each $20,000, which in essentials covers the cost of the flights. My one way from Atlanta to London is like $9,000-something, and return
wow.
is about the same. But so then there's my $20,000 eaten right up, and then we've got ground shipping costs once we're there. You know, the cost of hay and shavings over there is astronomical compared to here. And so we've been told to budget for it to cost, by the time we're home on American turf again, for it to have cost nearly $30,000. So,
holy
one, that's,
yeah.
that's a steep price to pay for one show, but that's
I
what
know.
It is. Yeah.
It seems kind of ridiculous. I always kind of, I am the kind of person who looks around at like all of the excess and kind of doesn't really think that's the best way to go. And then here I am spending $30,000 on a horse show. But,
yeah, but you have, you know, to become, you're a professional and in this industry, in eventing or whatever it is, you've got to go to Europe, you've got to go to England, and you've got to compete over there, and you have to have that experience if you want to make it into the truly big time of eventing. And that's where you're at, and that's what it costs. And I know you're kind of humble, and so I'm going to bring this up. You actually have on your website, we'll put a link to it on our Facebook page and in our show notes, at stephanie-rhodes-bosch.com. You actually are taking donations to help towards your trip. Your goal was $7,000, and that's the additional money over and above what you got from the Federation or from Canada there. And I know that I just contributed on behalf of the Horse Radio Network towards your fund. It's very easy to do. There's a little PayPal button right there on the homepage, and it looks like you're almost halfway there. So we encourage our listeners, if you can, it's as low as $10. you can contribute towards Stephanie's fund. And I know that you probably weren't going to bring this up, so I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, but I'm bringing it up.
Oh, thanks, Glenn. No, it's become a necessary part of my life. So I've gotten comfortable with it. I've gotten comfortable with it out of sheer necessity. I was never planning on doing all of this really cool stuff that I've been fortunate enough to do. So obviously the college funds my parents did have for me at one point got burned through rather quickly. And yeah, we're just trying to make it work here. So I really appreciate, obviously, any support. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people, when they hear about riders and athletes needing donations and funding to go and do stuff, they assume that the amount of funding that they need is just so far beyond what they can do. But they don't realize that, you know, $10 buys a bale of hay. $50 is half a tank of diesel. You know, those little amounts that people often don't think are even worth, you know, the contribution, they really do help. And I don't need one person to come up with $7,000. I just need, you know, a bunch of people who can do what they can, and that's amazing. And I'm so, you know, grateful and in awe of the response that I have gotten. I just so appreciate the people who, you know, love our sport enough, and whether or not I know them or they just watch Ollie and I, it's just, it's one of the great things about sport is the people who don't necessarily do the sport but are involved on some level. I'm very grateful.
Well, we're glad that we could try and help you get there. We'll be following your progress. This probably means that you won't be riding him at Rolex, I assume.
Yes, I won't be riding him at Rolex. Show jumping at badminton is the Monday before the jog inspection, the first jog at Rolex. So two big four stars in a season are not the
not in a week anyway.
Yeah, so no. Well,
thank you so
hopefully.
Much, Stephanie. We really appreciate you being on with us. We'll keep tabs on you, and maybe some morning when you're over there, we'll try and catch up with you when you're over there in England.
That'd be great. I appreciate it. I'll have my laptop, so Skype will be the way to go.
All right, good. We can do that. We can get you on Skype and try and get a chat with you while you're over there for all of our fans. And as I said, I'm going to put the link on Facebook and on our show notes page at horsesinthemorning.com, where you can help Stephanie live her dreams over there in Badman. Thank you so much, Steph.
Thanks, Glenn.
Good luck, girl.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It was fun.
Isn't that cool? She's such a nice girl. Well, this half hour and our daily song today is brought to you by FeedXL. If you're not sure whether you're feeding your horse correctly, whether you're giving too much of this vitamin, not enough of that one, too much hay, not enough grain, you can find out by going to FeedXL.com. It is simple as taking 5 minutes and putting some information about your horse, some information about what you feed your horse, and it's going to spit out reports that will show you whether you're doing it correctly or not. This program was put together by some doctors of nutrition that I happen to know out of Australia, and they're very good. It's really a cool program, and you really should take the time to find out if you're feeding your horse correctly. That's feedxl.com. And check it out today to make sure, just give you the peace of mind to know that you're doing right by your horse. Well, today's song is called Can't Change Horses. It's by our friend Dan Roberts, and you can find all of his music if you'd like to buy it at oldbootsmusic.com.
You better look down that road before you get on. Turn around, take one last look behind. Hey, pick up a little dirt, run it through your hands, then carve your favorite memories in your mind. 'Cause all you've ever dreamed of was riding the rodeo. Before you learn to hold on, you gotta learn to let go. You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as life in between. voices in the middle of your dream.
Of course, you can go listen to the show. We did recorded a musical episode last month with him, and just a really cool story, a really cool guy, and we might have both cried in that episode. So you have to check that out. So that's Dan Roberts. Today's show is brought to you, of course, by Pfizer Animal Health. I am Jamie Jennings, of course, along with Glenn as a geek. Jennifer's producing, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning. And Glenn, is Sylvia actually ready?
No, Jennifer's getting her on the line here. She should be ready in a minute here. I did want to say to everybody I wanted to say to you that I think we're recording our next musical episode that we're going to have out here next Friday. Jennifer and I are heading off to Equine Affair in Ohio. We're going to spend a couple of days up there checking out all of our friends at Equine Affair. So next Friday, we're going to have a special musical episode with your old musical buddy. We're going to record that today. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, Lindsay Rakers, of course, and we've had her on the line before. And I just find it very convenient that you schedule these when you're going out of town, yet me, I'm going to Vegas this weekend, and I would like Monday morning off. So I wanted to play it Monday morning. But it's all about you. I understand. That's fine.
Well, I didn't know you were going to Vegas this weekend. Is this for fun?
I didn't either.
I didn't either
until last night. I was informed last night that we might be going to Vegas. So then I thought, oh, good. We recorded a musical episode today. So we need to go ahead and play that on Monday so I can, you know, just take some time off. But guess not. Thanks. Good
we
time.
We can get things covered. Don't worry about it. It's no problem. Sylvia is ready for it.
All right. Well, we all know, you know, as listeners to the Horse Radio Network, that horses help people. It's a passion that we all have. Most of us were born with it. And, you know, when you have a really bad day, what do? You go out to the farm and you go to see your horse, or you go in your backyard or go to the boarding stable and you go see your horse, and you always leave feeling a little better. And that's one of the things that makes you know that horses really do help people. But it really goes deeper for one woman who is, I mean, she has rebuilt her entire life in an incredibly amazing way. So we'd like to say good morning to Sylvia Harris, author of Long Shot. And Sylvia, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I think your story is absolutely amazing, and I cannot wait to share it with the listeners. But your book is called Long Shot, and tell everybody, you know, kind of why you're a long shot.
Well, I guess, you know, I mean, I really can't answer that, but you go against the odds, I guess, and overcome, you know, whatever you even think as a goal, you know, in someone else's dream or make a wish. I want to, number one, say, first of all, this is an honor for you all to acknowledge, you know, my story, my experience. And, you know, there's always somebody in our environment that will give us a determination to overcome challenges and obstacles and mm-hmm. make a wish, you know, help that, definitely. You know, it's like, you know, kids sometimes don't get a chance to achieve their goals and their wishes. And so then you realize that you're just, you know, being a coward. You have to have courage for someone else. It does not have the next minute, so to speak.
So, yeah, so Sylvia, tell everybody about your disease that you were diagnosed with.
Oh, my imbalanced chemistry?
Yes, that's a nice way to put it. Yeah, imbalanced chemistry. I like that. I have those days, Sylvia. I'm having one today.
Well, technically, you know, it took quite a while, but it's bipolar. But after you, you know, try to, I guess there's really, you know, multiple facets with like unipolar, hypomanic, hypermanic, depressed, you know what I'm saying? So it took a long time to kind of find out. And then there's all these personality disorders, so to speak. But to me, mm-hmm. it's just a matter of mental health, emotional health.
Right. And you had some emotional issues at the age of 19 that kind of spiraled you off, I guess. And, you know, you somehow ended up in horses. So what got you to horses?
I think that they are very therapeutic, you know. Everyone has their different definition of what is medicinal and healthy for another person. Somehow it just came back in my life, and it was like, well, I guess, you know, I may have my own determination about my goal that I want to achieve, yet at the same time, you just have to have, you know, some kind of belief and faith, and even in hindsight, you realize this is what it's about. And horses are really therapeutic. There's like in Delaware, the Carousel Park. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. You can't even really answer a question sometimes.
So let's talk about your career. What is your current career right now?
I think volunteering and showing actual proof of the ability that horses have to heal. You know what I'm saying? You see children in wheelchairs all of a sudden start smiling and moving, you know, and getting very synchronized that maybe they couldn't speak, they couldn't move. And there's really no answer for it because we have our own definition of what is healing and therapeutic for everyone. But we are not the number one rule.
Aren't you a jockey?
Right now I'm an exercise rider.
Exercise rider. So you're on the track, but you have been, you've ridden in some races. And I think, you know, from what I read, you've even had a couple wins.
I'm always a passenger. You know, they're my teachers. You see what I'm saying? Well, I did, you know, and it was amazing because it was like, wait a minute, why is it so quiet? The horse takes you there, you know?
Uh-huh. So what was your first race like?
What's that, hon?
I said, so you work all this time to get to the racetrack. And you find your way there, and somebody gives you an offer to be an exercise rider, and then finally you get to ride in your first race. And I what was that like?
Wow, Manny Perez helped me out over at Arlington Park. You know, we was like way, you know, 30 lengths out of it. yet who it's not about quote unquote winning. It's just getting an E for effort. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I would say the owner would probably think it was about winning. Is that right?
I mean, it was a fantastic experience. And, you know, faith is first. It's not about winning, so to speak, and coming in first place. It's just about being able to show actual proof that, you know what, overcome all your obstacles. Challenge your
own. And that is
potential.
Yeah, and that is what you did. So everybody can check your book out. Where can they find the book?
Oh, at HarperCollins.
HarperCollins, probably on Amazon.com too.
Borders Bookstore. I mean, I'm having some interference. But if you go to HarperCollins.
Okay.
Oh, and then April 4th and 5th will be at the Winners Federation in Kentucky, in Georgetown, Kentucky. And there will be some offered books there.
Okay, perfect.
Hello?
April 4th and 5th, HarperCollins. And I think we're having some trouble on the line. So
I know,
listen.
It's interference. I apologize. You know, I'm really, trying to promote, you know, just some kind of inspiration and encouragement for other people that think that they don't have any help.
Well, I think when people read your story, they will definitely be inspired. So the book is called Long Shot. We're talking to Sylvia Harris. Sylvia, we will go check that book out. I'm really excited to read it, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Fantastic, and I'll send one your way.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon, okay? Have a great
day.
Thanks
for
being on the show.
Okay. I appreciate it. Okay, see you soon.
Okay.
I think what she wasn't saying is that, you know, her story is much greater than came across in that interview. She has a bipolar disorder, and she was homeless for a long time. She went back to Florida. And actually, a trainer or a person that she met down there in a homeless shelter said to her, "Look, is there one thing you were passionate about?" And she said, "I love horses." So he got her involved back with horses at a track, and she ended up going back to Chicago and getting involved in the track there, was exercise riding, and then became a jockey at the age of 40. Being a jockey is tough. That's not an easy life. As Jamie knows, she wasn't a jockey, but she exercise rode over here at Keeneland.
I'm too fat. I was an Oompa Loompa, Glenn.
However, our last guest is not an Oompa Loompa, because I'm going to post a picture in our show notes of her weighing in. She has biceps the size of tree trunks. Just like, oh my God, when I saw that picture. It was an incredible picture.
I'm frustrated that interview went like that. I mean, I'm sure that she has good and bad days, but her story, I think, just like you just said, is phenomenally inspirational, and I really hope it comes across that way in the book. The book, of course, is called Long Shot, but, you know, this woman talks about, you know, she was riding her first race, came in third, and then rode in her the next race and won it at 40 years old at a Chicago track. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. She was homeless. She lost her kids. I mean, this whole long story. And again, like I said, I hope it really comes out in the book, because to me, reading her story that came out in the Chicago Times is just phenomenally inspirational and just goes to show you how horses can help. So I didn't quite get there in the interview, but I was trying. I was trying
to
get there.
I think another thing to note is she was the first African-American woman in Chicago racing history to win a race.
It's amazing.
And the second in U.S. history.
Oh, my God. I mean
that's
like world record
stuff. And, you know, I think she was just being a little humble there today. So we appreciate her joining us and being on the show with us. And we'll definitely put links to her book in our show notes as well. Somebody else that's doing something really cool, and we talked about last week, is Mark Todd. And we'll get to the amazing rescue story and sound file I have for you right after we talk about Mark Todd. You know, Mark has been doing something. What's that?
I swear you have ADD. You've talked about this segment that you're going to play for two whole freaking days. I'm going to play this residue thing. But first of all, let's talk about Mark Todd. Why mention it 8 times?
I'm teasing. I'm being a good radio personality. I'm teasing. I'm teasing it.
Just play it.
See, I'm being good. Good radio personality. So Mark Todd is working with teaching soldiers in England how to ride and drive horses. He did a special 4-day clinic and has been putting on an intensive training course for wounded soldiers before they take part in the Horses Help Heroes Challenge this summer. 5 soldiers are part of a group of 12 who hope to raise more than €1 million by driving a replica World War I horse-drawn ambulance from Land's End to John O'Groats in just 10 days this summer. Soldiers will ride as outriders to accompany the ambulance. So basically they're going to ride from one end of England to the other. And these are injured soldiers in England, and I think it's really cool that he's helping them out in their goals. They're not equestrians. They're just learning how to do this now, and they're going to go ride with their injuries and all across England. I think it's just a really cool story.
Well, again, that just goes to show you that Mark Todd is an absolute hero. He's just the coolest guy ever. And we did find out that Mark Todd has his own clothing collection. So have you shopped online yet for that yet, Glenn?
No, I haven't. I figured that the Mark Todd collection would probably not have sizes big enough for me. that's what I was thinking.
Not me either, considering I'm a freaking Oompa Loompa.
Oompa Loompa, yeah, that's right.
It's amazing.
Well,
I can stay standing
up. You're never going to let me live that one down, are you? I was referring to stature, not girth.
Again.
Stature.
Stature, short and fat. That's an Oompa Loompa. Thank you. And I don't mean to offend any Oompa Loompas out there that are listening.
Yeah, now you've offended all of them. We're going to get emails.
God, the Oompa Loompas, there you go. I mean, while I'm sure you're a happy group of people, sometimes a woman may not want to be compared to your figure. Oh, gosh, I'm just digging a bigger hole. I'm done for
today.
Yeah,
you're digging a bigger hole. So getting back to this rescue story, this was out of Colorado over the weekend.
Can we play it tomorrow, Glenn? You hold on to it till tomorrow? Good Lord. This rescue story, he's talked about it 12 times, people. Go back to the show and listen to it. At the beginning of the show, he's like, oh, I got this great rescue story. It's just awesome. Daily deworming makes a difference, you can see. Feed by the animal.
All right.
And then there's a rescue story out of Colorado. Good morning, Stephanie.
Okay, so if you'd shut up for a minute, I could do the rescue story. So, out of Colorado, this is a audio clip that's from News First 5. They were having bad brush fires in Colorado, and they were consuming whole mountains. Well, and I have video of this from a helicopter. The brush fire was making its way to a horse farm. There was a horse in a field. I guess the owners weren't there or something. And there was this horse in a field. Well, the brush fire was about to get to this horse's field. He was running back and forth, going crazy. One lone firefighter shows up with a hose in his truck to try and save the horse and then calls in reinforcements. And here is the sound file from that.
Video, Carolyn, thanks for that. Now, if you're familiar at all with Franktown in the Parker area of Douglas County, you know there are a lot of horse properties there. It was a mad dash, literally, to get those animals to safety. Take a look. People scrambled to get their horses and other livestock into trailers. Friends and strangers frantically trying to help each other. Amazingly, no animals were lost. One of the most dramatic moments from this fire came on a ranch on live TV in the Denver area, streaming live on newsfirst5.com. Flames nearly took the life of a horse, but one heroic firefighter and a helicopter stopped the fire before it was too late.
As flames butt up against a fence, a horse and goats inside a corral go wild. One heroic firefighter hops the corral fence, hose in hand, to battle the flames solo. He struggles with the heavy hose, racing against time, trying to reach the fence. Out of our view, goats and other livestock, their lives in danger. Seconds later, air support comes into view. Fast-moving and precise helicopter drops target the flames and stop them in their tracks. With no time to spare, the horse and other animals are saved.
Wow, that's good stuff. What great work by all those firefighters today. No word yet, by the way, on that heroic firefighter and who he was. Certainly, though, a big thanks from that family tonight.
So this guy shows up in the video. We'll put links to it online. He shows up in the video with this hose, and he goes over to the fence, and he just starts hosing the fire the best he could. Well, then he apparently called in helicopter support, and they came in and doused the fire before the horse was caught in it in the middle of his field. It was probably one of the most dramatic horse rescues we've seen anywhere here on Horses in the Morning. We've never quite had a fire one before, not like that.
We need to find that guy and get him online. I mean, I wonder if he's a horse person. I have so many questions, and I also want to talk to that owner, because do you think that for the rest of that horse's life, it is going to freak out when you hose it off?
I know.
Or see the helicopter? Because helicopters and hoses now remind it of fire. Because
yeah,
that's the way horses think. They learn by association, okay? I think it's... be interesting to find out.
Oh, by the way, there were no Oompa Loompas hurt in the filming of that story or that video. Just wanted to bring that up.
Thank God.
But I bet you Richard Gere would love to have you join his little riding vacation.
That was a very random segue to a story about...
I'm trying to get you off of Oompa Loompas and on to thinking about Richard Gere. See, that's what my thought pattern was there, trying to get you thinking about something else. And I figured if I threw Richard Gere into the mix, who was taking and enjoying a relaxing horse riding vacation in Peru with his wife and 10-year-old son this last weekend, that you would then not think about Oompa Loompas anymore. That was my goal anyway.
Have you ever been, you know, outside, Glenn, and had, like, a bird fly by and dive bomb your head, and so you're looking to the left, and all of a sudden you're like, whoosh, you look to the right because it went by so fast? That's exactly what you did. Our listeners are like, whoop, Richard Gere? What? How did they get to Richard Gere? They got whiplash from whipping their head around going, what? Okay, so, yes, Richard Gere... There's photographs of actor Richard Gere riding horses in Peru with his family. But what I didn't realize, because when I think of Richard Gere, you are the master of the whiplash segue.
Keep up, Jamie. Keep up.
Sorry. It is clearly my fault that I can't keep up with your ADD, okay? It's phenomenal to listen to. Jennifer and I just sit here, and we are amazed on a daily basis of what you come up with.
I think I've lost
back
it.
To Richard Gere. Back to Richard Gere. When I think of Richard Gere, I think of a man in Pretty Woman that is a bazillionaire driving a Lotus, you know, going to operas, but he is now 61 years old. Richard Gere is 61. That might take all sexy out of it. No offense to the 61-year-olds who are listening to
now
the show.
Now you're offending Uncle Lewis and 61-year-olds.
My dad's 65. He don't care. We've already made him mad earlier.
Finish the show. Why don't we finish the show? Play a song.
He's
get the hell out of here before we offend the entire listening audience.
I'm ready to go. Say goodbye, Glenn.
You know how we said at the beginning of the show that Tuesdays don't have a feel? Oh, I'm feeling it now.
Okay, we don't have any listeners by now anyway. They've all left. Just talking to ourselves.
Oh, my God. All right, let's finish the show. You can catch... I can't do it. You do it.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Facebook, search for Horses in the Morning. Somebody has posted, Barbara has posted a picture of Oompa Loompas, for those of you who don't know. And then Rick posted underneath it, exactly which one does Jamie look like? So thanks, you guys. Thanks, Barbara. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Rick. This has been an awesome day. Be sure to listen. I already said that. We're on Twitter, Horse Radio, whatever. Take, screw you guys. I'm going home. Goodbye, Glenn.
I can't do it.